as a result of relationship or relation, relationship is developed. That's how I want, but that's what I meant to say. Sounds a little more poetic. As a result of relation, relationship is developed. I started off by saying, don't just go to God with your deep stuff. Go to God with your small talk and your silliness. You know, God wants to be a part of your everyday life and your, like I said, even the stuff. I always kind of fall in that scripture. David said, even if I make my bed in hell, you're there with me. You know, just that, God, just I want you in everything. And I want to talk a little bit about the past couple of weeks' messages. 2 weeks ago, I kind of gave you an assignment/challenge. It wasn't like something that I was requiring you to do, but it was more like a suggestion. Do you remember what it was? Yeah, my babies. Go ahead. Yes, how many of you did that? What did you learn? I want to hear about that. I want to know what you got. If you want to come up and take the mic, we can do that. If you just want to say it to me and have me repeat it, I'll do that. Whatever makes you happy. But I really want to kind of do an inventory of what we got, what we've learned. And, you know, I don't want to just keep getting up every Sunday and just keep giving you revelation upon revelation upon revelation, and you don't get a chance to live out or birth out any of what you got. You understand that, right? Any good teacher would do that. And like I said, I'm not a preacher, so I'm here. I can preach, but I'm not a preacher. I'm a teacher. I'm a mentor. That's my key function in life. So from that, I want to know what you found. And not just the words you found that you looked up and found, but how they spoke to you. Did they make a difference? Did a revelation come from what you looked at that imprinted you? When you begin to look up Father. And for those who may not remember or don't know what I'm talking about, we went through the Lord's Prayer in Luke, where in Matthew he says, our Father, and Luke just cuts a lot of stuff out and he just goes through Father. And I said, you know, he's acknowledging not our Father, but my Father, an individual relationship. And he was very, very strong about the things he pointed out, which were like really strong covenant. I think that Matthew's was more Messiah-based, and I feel like Luke's kind of came off to me more personal, you know, more individual, not even prophetic, but just individual covenant-based. I think his, to me, felt more covenant. So I asked us to look up Father, because we established that without Father, my Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. If the Father thing is not put in its right context, the rest of the prayer falls flat. If you don't know that he's your Father, not God in heaven, Father of us all, but my Father. If that's not a real thing, it's hard to believe God for anything else when you don't believe he cares. And so that you don't believe he cares for you. Make sure I keep making that emphasis individually. So I talked about the image I had of Father and what the word Father meant to me. So when every time somebody said God is your Father, I had this absentee image. I never saw my father, never met him. I knew he was out there because I had to come from somewhere. But I didn't have a father until I met my godfather, who was a father figure and became a father, but never had the title in my life. He wasn't allowed to be called father, not by him, but by, you know, my mom and him would took deep offense if I would call this man father. Even though he was more father to me than the stepfather that she married, that we were then commissioned to call dad, who was not a father to me at all. And that father was physically abusive and emotionally abusive. Beat the crap out of me. Beat the living crap out of me. Black eyes, busted lips, swollen stuff that you would go to jail for today if I went to school with half of what I went to school with Back then, they didn't have all that. They didn't have no Bureau of Child Welfare and all that stuff. You got beat up, they just took you back home. Said, whatever you did, don't do it again. Y'all know, this is generations and the generations after, y'all don't know how fortunate you are. And I remember when it turned. Who's old enough to remember when all that stuff went into place? You remember? It was a big case. It was a white couple adopted a little girl and beat her to death. And all of a sudden, laws. Yep, in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And they was like, oh, no. And it changed the whole world. It got to the point you can't even yell at the kid. It's abuse. So, talk to me about Father and what you found. And if, like I said, if you feel like you need to come up and share it, stand up. I'll give you, and I'll walk, get the mic and come over to you. But I want to know. Now, don't make me start calling you out, because you know I will. You looked it up. Come on, bless somebody. This is going to be one of those messages, so I'm just letting you know right now. If you ain't going to put your hand up, well, you know, it's going to be today. You want a mic, or you just want to say it? You need a mic? You don't want a mic, or you do? Yeah, so let me switch off to that one. Let me do Oprah. Testing, yeah, much louder.
I knew you were going to do that. Why did I think I was going to get away with that?
You're good. This place fits you.
Amen. That message was the message I think I needed to hear, like, all my life. I wanted to know what a father was. I have a biological father, but not to get into too much detail, I just felt like there was a disconnect between me and God because of that relationship and that experience. And so when Pastor started talking about the definition of father, like, I zoomed in like I never had before. And so when he charged us to look up the word father, I was like, yes, I need to see this. I need to know what this really means and get it in my spirit. So, like he said, when you look it up, it gives you all the attributes or the adjectives of God. But what stuck out to me was Father of all. That was the one that stuck out. Father of all. I was like, okay, so when I pray to you, my Father, you're the Father of everything. Like, everything I need, like... I'm still wrapping my brain around it, but it's like, okay, now I come to you a little differently, not lacking or seeking something that you didn't already give me, but okay, I can receive this now. I can receive you as my everything. And I'm like, okay, wow, you lack nothing, so therefore I lack nothing. So, I'm still going to keep studying it because it's something I really, really near and dear to my heart that I really want to receive and understand and know that I know that I know that I know who my Father is. Amen.
That was good. Come on, yeah, you can give it up. The thing I pointed out in the message was patriarch, the beginning of all things. The creator of all things. So when we say Father who art in heaven, exactly what you said. Creator of all things. Author and finisher. So that means there's nothing that I can find myself in, even if I got myself into it, that he can't finish. That he can't correct. That's good. Ruth, you had your hand up. Come on. For each person, I'll get on a different side.
Okay. When I looked up the word father, I saw words like origin, protector. Those are the two that stuck out to me the most. So origin is like the reason why you're here, the foundation of everything. So I'm like, okay. And then God started to remind me all the times that he fathered me when I didn't have my natural father do certain things. Like, my father, he's great, but when it comes to emotional and certain things that I can't talk to him about, God was there. And God began to show me all those times and all the times that he protected me when I didn't even know. He even started to show me things that I did this because this was about to happen to you and you didn't even realize. And I was like, oh. So if you do all of that, like, why do I come to you in a certain way when you do all these things that I'm not even aware of just to keep me because I'm yours? You know, so origin and protector, those are the two that stuck out to me. And I've been coming to God a lot differently for the past couple of weeks because of that new connection that I just, that God revealed to me.
Amen. Yeah. I'm feeling like a proud father right now. I feel like now as you're talking, I'm saying, see, God, I'm doing a good job. So when you tell me to go, I did my job. I taught him. Who else had their hand up? Nellie had a hand up. Mike, didn't you have your hand up too? You didn't? Well, you were going to though? Come on, Nellie. Come here. Sisters can keep showing the brothers up, man. It's, I don't know, man. What's up with this? So you need some brothers coming up here with some spiritual revelations. I got to switch sides.
When I prayed about Father, what came into my spirit was image, that we're created in his image. So I remember you were speaking about when you're looking in the mirror, or when you have a child and they look in the mirror, they look like you. So the image is so powerful to me, is because when people look at us, because he's our father, they should see his image all over us. There should be like a power that comes off of you. Like it just ricochets. People feel it and they know because he's our father. So that word image is so deep, because I want to look like him. I want to have his power come off of me, and people will just know by coming into my
represent.
They come into my presence and they already know that I'm different. They know that he's my father without me even having to say it. And the decisions that I make in my life will also show that he's my father. The way how I behave, it will show that he's my father. And the way how I walk, I talk, and I'm being still will also show that he's my father, because I'm going to wait for him and he's going to move on my behalf, because I know that he's my father. Amen.
That wait on him part hit me. You can go sit down. That wait on him part hit me. I heard everything she said, but that, I could do a whole message. Just listen to this. I'm just gonna say it in a couple of sentences. One of the things I said about Father was provider. If you know you have provision, then you don't have a problem waiting. When you fear that you don't is when you panic and freak out. And if you know your father is faithful, then you don't have a problem waiting. It may not be today, but dinner going to be on table before the night's out. It's a real thing. That ability to say, I'm yours so I can wait. I won't be impatient. I can wait. I had the conversation all this week about that, about just knowing, seeing, watching the signs, and seeing everything God has been doing for the past year since I started confessing, it's my time. Start confessing things differently, like, oh, I'm doing this. Remember when I started saying that? I'm doing this. No, I'm not trying it this time. I'm doing this. And just that confidence of knowing that he's a provider, and that even listen. After I finished the video, what did he tell me? No, don't put it out now. I want it's ready. I want it. He said, no, wait. I was like, okay. Done. What am I doing next? And soon as that was done, the summit came up. And I need you to understand something about that summit. For those of you who think that I had known months in advance, I think I knew like a week and a half before the summit that I was speaking. I didn't know. So God knew. But then I knew. Let me say it wasn't confirmed. But I knew, because I told you. I said, I'm going to speak on that summit. In the beginning, they were trying to get money. They were trying to get sponsors. They were trying to get me to give them money. I was like, yeah, gold and silver I have, and I'm still not giving that to you. But I have this, and I'll give that. And that ability to know, let me rephrase that. That ability to wait that she talked about only comes when you have the ability to know that that is my Father and he will come through and I don't have to worry. Then you can wait. And you can wait even if you feel tensed at times. You can wait with strong expectation. Faith mixed with patience. We did that about a month ago. Who else we got? Come on, Q. Mike, you stuck your hand up too? Okay, and Esther, you put your hand up. I saw you. You kind of doing it like this, but I saw you. Okay, I'm on this side now.
For me, Father is like all of the above. And
don't be scared.
With us people, me, my dad, my father, he wasn't around much due to work situation and other stuff, but he, whenever we spoke on the phone or whatnot, he would drop some wisdom and knowledge to me. The little time we were had together and stuff, he would tell me certain things pertaining to growing up being a man. As a child, some of the things I would hear and be like, no. And then as I got older, I see it, and I'm like, wow, he was right with that. And some fathers lack in other stuff and whatnot, so I get it when you say Father God and how such and such. But I never really compare the two, the earthly father and the spiritual father. And like I said, due to the fact that he wasn't around as much, I gravitated towards men, figures that I would see as father figures who helped guided me in life, teaching me stuff as I went through life. One big one right here, Pop, Diamond Brown, father. Learned a lot. I have my two boys. I try to embark and teach stuff on them, because that's a legacy, a continuation of you, a father, that you're putting out in the world for other kids who may not have fathers that they can see. I tell them, whatever is mine is theirs.
Yeah.
Remember the time Joseph said, oh, I left my charger in your car. I'm like, my car? What are you talking about? Your car? He's like, what? No, whatever is mine is yours, son. So to me, that's what a father is, what I see and stuff. What is his is mine. And he says it many times. You know?
Come on. Yeah, man.
I don't want to get too emotional, but.
Oh, that's good stuff. You good?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. All y'all getting up here dropping some jewelry, I'm telling you right now. It's like, you get that line. Whatever is his is mine. It wasn't that the prodigal son story? He said, you throwing the whining brother? You throwing a party for him? He said, like, son, you are forever with me. Everything I have is yours. All you had to do was ask for a party in the calf, and you would have had it. You so used to serving that you forgot to even ask. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, listen, you're going to bring them diamonds up here, and I'm going to polish them off and show you that other facet. Some of us get so busy trying to serve God, we don't get to even ask. And if you serve too much, you start to really believe, and church is taught that you're a servant of God for so long that you see yourself as God's slave. But Jesus said, I don't know what your old pastor or what that you heard online, but Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. And the things the Father makes known unto me, I make known unto you. So he said, no, I don't know. I don't care what they taught you. One of the things that my kids have always said about me, and you'll say it, you're like a dad, but you're a friend. I can talk to you. Some of my daughters call me up here and want to talk to me about something. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. But then I go, but I need to hear it because I'm dad. And you want to talk to me about things you struggle with. And I'm like, Lord, just let no images be created. I'm a visual person in my mind that make me shudder in the night. I'm gonna share this. I'm like really funny about it, but I'm gonna share it. Speaking to my granddaughter the other night, and she kept putting the camera on her little friend, saying she likes you, she wants to date, go on a date with you. Some little 10-year-old kid, and I finally said, "Don't say that. You're grossing me out. I don't like that. Don't say that." And I'm going like, you feel comfortable enough with me to kind of say this kind of stuff. It's kind of cute. But at the same time, it's disgusting. Don't say that. And I feel that way with daddy. I can talk to daddy. And I can say stuff. And he may say to me, son, you above that. But I appreciate the fact that you feel comfortable enough to talk to me straight. Who's next? This is good. I'm enjoying this. It's almost like I think I'm on this side this time. No, I'm on this side. Right, okay.
For me, a thing that came up was dependability. Mm. A father loves you regardless, whether, you know, through thick and thin, whether you've done good things or bad things. And I find myself saying, okay, God, can I trust? And he's like, trust me. I'm like, okay, well, but can I trust? Trust me. He would just keep saying, just trust me. Right. And I'm like, okay, but what if this? Trust me. So it's like, regardless of what you think someone would do or what you think you would do, God is just like, okay, at the end of the day, trust me. So,
Yeah, that's a diamond right there. Yeah, I'm ready for you to give me the mic back whenever you
do. I have one more. All right, so dependability, trust, and a father forgives. I remember one day I did something that I'm like, I'm Christian. How could I ever do that? So I'm like beating myself up saying, I can't believe I did this. But God was like, I forgive you. Just like that. And I'm like, wait, what?
Yeah, but.
Just like that?
I didn't cut myself yet.
I know. But hold on. Let me stay in this for a little bit longer. But God's like, no, I forgive you. And that's it. And I'm like, really? So I love God. That's it.
That's good. That's real good. That's real good. Thank you. Dependability, and then she said, trust. And I heard the same word. I heard the same word for both of them. Because when she said dependability, I was like, right. Not, oh, I can depend on God to do this, that, and the other. Like, I could depend on God no matter what anybody else does. You catching that? Trust me, he's saying. But what if they're not trustworthy? I didn't ask you to trust them. I asked you to trust me. Whatever they do, I'm going to work all things together for your good. Trust me. See, it's not a separate thing, and that's what I thought some of you were hearing. Like, she was saying, well, just trust me. Like, ignore them, trust me. But I got to deal with them every day. No. What she was saying was, and I picked it up, it doesn't make a difference what they do. My outcome will prevail. Trust me. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter how they act. Trust me. If I need to check them, I'll check them. If I need to shut them down, I'll shut them down. There's people that God has put in my life, even recently, that I'm real careful now to assign people places. Are you listening to me? Because you'll need to listen to me very, 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 very close. Because every time God puts somebody in our life, we start assuming that this is the role they play. And this is how long they're going to be there. And these are the doors they're going to open. And this is what's going to come as a result of that. Come on. We're always doing that. Wow, this is good. Let us build two tabernacles, one for Moses and Elias, and let's stay here. That's a bad habit we have. I'm now in a place where I say, okay, God, do I need to trust these people? He say, no. No, absolutely not. You need to let the situation run its course. And then I'll tell you what you need to do next. And just take this with you. The cap on what Esther is saying and the big picture I take from that is, God said this to me a long time ago and he's been really showing it to me lately. Stop making anybody a destination. Everybody's just transportation. The flight connects somewhere. And it may be a layover. But they're not the final stop. So there's people that I met through this diversity thing. I was like, yeah, they can help me. They're going to open doors. Yeah, I can. And I'm telling them, like, yeah. And all of a sudden, I'm in platforms that they're not in. Just like that. And now they're calling me saying, yeah, we need to get together. And I'm like, mm-hmm. I think I was saying that to you, you know, a few weeks ago, maybe a few months ago, because I was looking at you as being where I felt like I needed to be. And just like that, I'm where you want to be. And it's quick. Just like that. You don't have to trust people. But I trust God even through people. You got that?
Yeah.
I don't care what their intention is. Listen, I'm going to preach this real quick. Well, this is important because what you said, Esther, has opened up a revelation that if you know, I assume people understand stuff because I understand it. But then as people talk, I see, you think that's common sense. It's not common sense. Everybody in Jesus' life had a purpose, even Judas. Everybody. They played a role. The difference was he wasn't surprised by the role because he was listening to Father to know their role. One of you going to betray me. Who's it going to be, Lord? Who's it going to be? I'll tell you. And Judas said, is it me, Lord? He was like, doggone right it is. And then he still did it. Look, he would have said, well, shoot, then I'm out. He still did it. So even the people that are put there or that you put there, did you hear what I just said? Or you put there. Trust me means what you said, Ed, which ties in what she said. I'm in control. I'm creator of everything. I work everything the way I want it to go. I have control over everything, even the stuff you mess up. I can control that. I'm never caught off guard, and I can control it. And just that trust lets me know I can be patient. I can wait. I can watch. I can trust. Amen. Is that everybody? Yeah. Come on, Mike. I think I'm on this side now, right? Yeah. The ambiance. Keep creating a new ambiance. Take that. I ain't holding it for you.
Okay. Sometimes. Okay. There's so much when I think, oh my God. When I think of a father, I think of someone who always comes through. I won't say I lost my earthly father in 2015. I'll say heaven gained my earthly father in 2015. I think of someone who always comes through. My father, very personal, I was born to a 16-year-old mother, you know, so I was born out of wedlock. You know, my father was 21. But he came through, so it didn't have the proper start. But about 3.5-4 years later, he married my mother, and he made it right. And I honor him for that. You know, that's my earthly father, a human who, you know, who makes mistakes. I'm not a mistake. Neither, if any of you came this way, you're not a mistake. Be very clear. But I have an earthly father who came through, and I can think of the countless times in my life when something, you know, was not about to happen or was a financial situation, and, you know, my mother said it's going to be tougher this year, but I thought about my father who always came through. He did whatever he had to do. And if I have an earthly father who always comes through, I really think of my heavenly father through everything. Comes through. I know I preached a couple months ago about that. I got you, God, but I cannot get off of that. He reminds me through the months that we've been, you know, not knowing what our fate is. We know who our fate is in. And I think of a God who always comes through. There's a scripture and then something else real quick, and then I'm going to sit down. But it says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Proverbs 22:6 says, start your children off the way they should go, and even when they're old, they will not depart from it. I am a father. I've been fortunate to become a father to three wonderful children who challenge us, but when I look at them, they make me proud. You know, they make me proud. They say, I'm somebody's daddy. You know, my father in heaven honored me to be somebody's daddy, and God came through for me. You know, there was a time I didn't know whether that would happen or not. You know, there was a time when I doubted, but God came through. But there's this little ditty from years ago. It says, as a father feeds his children, as a shepherd leads his flock, the Lord will always guide us, show us where to walk. And in times when we have plenty, and in times when we have not, he is our provider, and his mercy never stops. I think of a God who just always comes through, no matter what I've done, no matter what I haven't done. He always, comes through. That's it.
Amen. Amen. You got a little song mixed in with that one. So let's put this together. Did I get everybody? Let's tie this all together. And thank you for a nice blend of sisters and brothers. Let's put this all together. Let's tie this all together. Something very important just happened here. And I didn't just make this up. God told me on my way here today, this is what I was going to do. That I was going to ask about that question. And I said, God, I hate doing that because one person raises their hand and I get so ticked off. And he said, no. They took this one more serious. And I said, okay. I don't mean you shouldn't take the other one serious too, but you took this one serious. And you did, and as a spiritual father, you've made me proud. But I'm going to tell you what I saw. This question awakened something in you guys. And each and every one of you that got up here got teary-eyed. Each and every one of you got choked up a little bit. Each and every one of you, in expressing the rhema or the revelation that came out of this research, has drawn you closer to God. You can feel it. With that said, when I finished last week's message on the oil, I felt that something was still missing. And God said, you taught it the week before. If the Father thing isn't covered, the rest of it is useless. So people don't prepare. What is the oil? They don't have enough oil. What's the oil? What represents the oil? From Old Testament to New. The Holy Spirit. You don't have enough of His Spirit if you don't acknowledge that He's your Father. So when you seek to take or receive something from mystical God, it's few and far between. But when you go to Father with the understanding of what you received in this past couple of weeks, it's a different thing. His room is not locked. His drawer is not. Come on now. He ain't putting padlocks on the refrigerators and the cabinets so you can't get to the food without a certain amount of prayer or knowing secret combinations. It's Father now. And your cupboard and your cabinets are open to me at all times. And so now when you seek that oil, you don't have to go get it. You always have an abundant supply. You don't lack. I don't like to go shopping when I run out of stuff. Angela will tell you, I'm like, okay, I'm on my last bottle of Seabreeze. Is it empty? It shouldn't be empty. Get some more. I don't want the bottle empty. And I'll say, look, I got 4 or 5 more uses here. Restock the Seabreeze. And don't get one. So you look in the body wash, and I'll have like 6 bottles. Like, I don't want to have to worry about body wash. That's just me. I'm without realizing it, a prepper. I like to have a surplus of things. I like to know I have options, and I have different scents, you know, because I don't want to smell the same every week. But I like that. I don't want to be down to my last can of vegetarian beans. I want a few cans up there. That's me. But that comes from understanding that I have a Father of surplus who provides. So I should never be in a place that I'm running looking for oil if that relationship exists. Do you understand what I just said? When you expect Daddy to provide, you look for provision. When you don't, you look at lack all the time. You always look at what you don't have. When you get the image and the picture that we're talking about now, you say, where's my provision then? What do I need to do? I want you to make a vow before God right here, right now, and say this again. Say this before me, I mean, right now before God. I will never again look at lack. I will always look at your provision for my life. And when I do, I truly understand that there is no such thing lack. You catch that? Right? Remember, Shell? I don't speak broke. I don't know what that is. It's been a long time since I've been broke. I don't even know what broke is. I mean, you're talking about decades since I've lacked anything. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. Father, we bless you today and we thank you for those watching, for those here, and I speak the full revelation and truth of Father and provision, author and finisher over our lives. You are Father in every explanation that we found and the ones we still can't find. You are Father, and we know that in you, through you, and by you, we're here. And you did not create us without knowing exactly what you were doing and what your plan was for us. So we bless you and we thank you now that we are provided for in every way, spiritually, emotionally, physically, financially, socially. We are yours. In Jesus' name, amen.